Jesus. Praise the Lamb of God. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lamb. Oh, the Lamb of God. From the Old Testament Lamb in the Old Testament. The blood of that lamb and bullocks and goats could never take away sin. But the Lamb of God took away the sin of the world. It didn't even say sins. It said the sin of the world. Because all sins are alike. They're all ungodly. Hallelujah. Why are you standing? John 20, 24. Number of verses I want to read to you tonight. I'll read about five or six or more here and let you be seated. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He's resurrected. He comes in where there are 11 apostles and he's not there. Have you ever gone someplace, come back and say, boy, we had a great service. You know, people getting the Holy Ghost and you're like, you know, I've been faithful all this time and now, okay, well, this is where he probably felt. I've been with Christ all this time. He shows up and I'm not here. And so he's doubtful. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print. Say the print with me. I want to see the impression. I want something to impress me like is impressed in his hand. The print of the nails and put my finger into the print. Not just see it. I want to put my finger and I want to touch it. The print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. I love you guys, but you know, this is a little bit too much. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, we don't even know if he actually did that, but he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and I. I haven't seen him. And I see his workings, but I haven't seen him. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe, you and I might believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Thomas said, I won't believe till I see the print and touch the print. I want to talk to you about the importance of the fine print. The importance of the fine print. He said, y'all saw his body. I want to see the fine print. I want to see the smaller things that lets me know. Yeah, I'll talk to you. God, we ask you to come tonight. Hallelujah. Rescue us all. Hallelujah. Without your spirit, we're hopeless. We're helpless. But you came to rescue us out of a world that is lost, mixed up, and confused. We ask you tonight, open up our minds and our hearts to your word like never before in the day that we live. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Thank you that are visiting tonight. We appreciate you coming on Tuesday night to our Bible study. The Bible says that his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know enough about me. A lot of times you will quit something, you'll start something and quit it because you don't understand it. And you don't have knowledge of it. So a lot of times you don't understand something, you quit it real quick. But if you had a full understanding of it, you would have never engaged in it in the first place, right? You would have said, hey, I understand this. I'm in this for the long haul or whatever the case is. So when you start living for God, I'm here to tell you, you better be in it for the long haul. You better be in it to study this thing, search this thing, because you will find yourself back lost again. You can be sitting on the pew and lost, going to church and lost, paying your tithes and lost, because you never paid attention to what we call the fine print. Nearly all of you have some type of insurance policy, do you not? I mean, you've got some kind of insurance policy, and you've heard, you know, there is the fine print. And so let's just say you've got your policy, and you're always in a hurry to sign. Where do I sign, right? How many of you ever read your policy thoroughly before you ever signed it? Where, well, you know, okay, you're just ready to get it over with. And you're trusting this agent that tells you, oh, yeah, we got you covered. No problem. We cover that, We cover all that too. Don't worry about it. We got you covered. Now, where's the check? And you never worry about it until Rita comes or until then you get your policy out and you start reading. And so you read, hey, it covers for water damage. So I got a claim. And so you send in your claim and they say, well, we don't cover for a leaking roof or rising water. That's the main thing, rising water from a river. But I thought I had flood insurance or whatever. And they say, but on page 27, down at the bottom, in that little bitty italicized print there, we do not cover rising water. I'm sorry, we don't cover that. And so there is a great importance to the fine print. Everything works until it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, we want to know why it didn't work. Same is true in living for God. You'll live for God over the macro, if you will. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, let's read what it is that strengthens you. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that. I am more than a conqueror through him. And you can quote all these scriptures if you want to. That's fine. Gives you a great good feeling. But what's the fine print say? What does it really say to be more than a conqueror? Just then quote the scripture and not fully understand it. So I want to help you tonight, and hopefully in a lot of time that I have, to become a better student of understanding your own Bible. Because if you don't understand this thing, it's very difficult to live it. You can't live what you don't understand. And so obviously the fine print is also even in the Bible. It's not that God's trying to cover this thing up. It's not that he's trying to hide it, for it's never anything done in a corner. However, you will never find God without seeking him. You will never find God without asking or knocking. You have to read the whole thing to understand what God is about. And so I don't want to get carried away with the body of the insurance policy without knowing the fine print. And neither do I want to get carried away with the body of the Bible and just say, well, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be saved. Yeah, that's what it says right there. And never read the fine print. So I want to help you tonight. Jesus has risen from the dead and he presents his body, if you will, to 11. The Bible says 11. Yes, 11 apostles, not 12 and not 10. Judas is not one of them, but I'm assuming they have already replaced Judas with the man's name. Let's see how well you know your Bible. What was the name of the man? No, not you. Not, you can't play. Anybody over here? I'm not. Huh? Matthias. Huh? Matthias? And that's right. Yeah, his name was Matthias, or whoever said it's close. So. It's okay. I'm dyslexic, so it's okay. And so his name was Matthias. I admire people. See, I have to admire this guy. See, if you don't look at the fine print, you say, oh, they replaced him. I want to teach you how to study this Bible. I admire that man more than the other 11. He stepped into this thing in a time of trouble. He wasn't one of the 12 that got to walk around and all get all the credit for being with Christ and turning the water, the wine, the dead was raised, and all this kind of stuff. He walked into trouble. So did the Apostle Paul. He walked into trouble. You have to admire people that will roll up their sleeves and walk into the trouble and never really enjoyed the benefit that you had of living for Christ during those 3.5 years he walked on the earth. He just steps in and said, I'm going to be an apostle. He knew he was walking into trouble. They were already hiding. So these are little fine details that you don't want to miss in the Bible. But if you don't think about it, if you just read it as a book, you're going to miss things like that. And I want to teach you how to slow your reading down and think about it. Every word in here is important. There is a meaning to every phrase in here. It's just not thrown in here to make a story. So I will say, too, that I, too, owe an apology to Thomas, if you're listening up there in the great sky. We all owe you an apology for calling you Doubting Thomas, because I want to show you in the fine print that the other 11 apostles doubted more than him. We ought to be saying the 11 doubting apostles. I want to show you this. Let's look at Luke 24 and 36. And as they thus spake, this is the very first time that Christ come. Okay, Thomas is not there. First time. And as they, these 11, thus spake Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were afraid, they were terrified and afraid, and supposed it had been a spirit. They didn't even believe this was the resurrected Christ. This is a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? What is this about? Behold, he said, look at my wounds. Behold, my hands and my feet. See, that was his way of showing it's me. Anytime you can relate to people through wounds, you win them. See, this is what you don't want to miss in reading your Bible. Am I helping you already? When you say, I've been through that too, I understand what you're going through, you automatically begin to win rapport with these people. And he's showing him, behind closed doors, not to the public, he's showing them his wounds. He said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. And he went even further than behold, he said, handle, touch, and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands, and he showed them his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, they were happy to see you, but I don't believe it's you. They did not believe and wondered. Wait a minute. See, they'd already seen what Thomas has not seen. They're already handling what Thomas has not handled. But we call him the doubter. They handle and still doubt. Thomas, we don't even know if he touches. He says, my Lord and my God. We have wrongfully accused this man. Yet believe not for joy and wondered. He said unto them, have ye any meat? Let me go a step further. If you think I'm a spirit, hey. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Watch this. Man, walking through doors and showing them his wound. But it was this is what convinced them. And when he had ate this food, he then convinced them that he was the Christ. Shortly thereafter, Brother Thomas, you know, arrives and he's not there when Christ shows the wounds and they get to feel him. And so many times we don't share the full experience with people. We just say, he's risen. We have seen him. We got the Holy Ghost. We got saved. Boy, aren't we really living for God? And you don't tell them what you went through to get there. I don't read where they say, hey, listen, Tom, we felt his wounds. We saw him eat fish. They just say, we saw him, so believe us, with no proof. I'm here to tell you, you got to give me something to believe in. Say, oh, just believe, just trust. Well, give me something to trust in. Give me something to make me believe. Help me believe. That's what the man said. I believe. Give me something to believe in. Help my unbelief. The boy gets up, I'll believe on you. But until then, I don't know. You see, we tell people, oh, just believe. Just believe. Well, give me something to believe in. Tell me that's happened to you. And he healed you of the same thing I got. Then you give me something to believe in. Are you with me tonight? And so Thomas says, I won't believe except that I touch and see these nail prints. I'll know him by his wounds. And so Jesus shows up and shows him his wounds. And on eight days later, this had gone on for 7 days. This is the eighth day when he shows up again and the door's being shut. He comes in, says again, peace be unto you. And he shows Thomas, said, look, reach forth thine hand and your fingers and handle me and don't doubt anything. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He is a believer now because he showed himself to him. You know, when we get too saved, we don't want to tell people where we came from. It's the biggest mistake Christians ever make. Because what happens is they want you to believe that I've always been holy. I've always been righteous. I've always been good like this. And they don't want to relate to how they used to be. That's what they need to hear. They need to hear how dirty and rotten and stinking and low down you really were, because that gives them hope they can come out of it. But if you act like, hey, you need to get your act straight. Well, remember when you didn't have your act straight. Show them your wounds. Am I helping you? This is what you've got to understand in the Scriptures when you read them. Don't just read the story. You won't get anything out of it other than this is what happened. It's just an occurrence. So Thomas believed without the food. Without the food. So he was not as much a doubter, my brothers and sisters, as the other 11 were. And many other signs, the Bible says, did Jesus do in their presence. It's not written in this book, but they're written that we might believe. So he said to Thomas, blessed are your eyes for you see, but more blessed. Do you understand that? You're more blessed? Let me tell you something. People that say, I sure wish I'd lived in Jesus' time, they're being foolish. I sure wish I'd lived back in 1915 when my grandpa was here and I saw all that. You're being foolish. For a live dog is better than a dead lion. I don't care how great those days were. You're better off right now. Living today than dead yesterday. Because you're of no good once you're dead. But today, God can use me. Do you understand that? A living dog, a dog. We like got Fifi and we go to the pet shows and you groom them and you spend lots of money on food and fences and kennels and dog food and I know the feeling and shoes and four-wheeler things and I know the feeling, boat covers and all that. You spend all that money. Those were considered pests in that day. That's why they said this woman, thrust her away. She said, Lord, even the dogs. A live dog's better than a dead lion. I appreciate my grandpa and all that, but I wouldn't want to live in his day. I'd rather live right now. I'd rather be alive and be a dog than be a lion and be dead. Do you understand that? Okay. So he gave us these things to believe that we might believe. So I'm just having to go by like the Bible says, with a feeling, if haply I might find him. I have to believe this. Do you know how difficult it is? You give me somebody that's never heard about Jesus Christ, some Hindu, let's say, that believes that chicken scratch, and y'all don't, that's too deep for some of y'all. And so to get them to believe that a man was born of a virgin and that he died for the sins of the world, and on 3 days later, his blood started flowing again? Oh, come on. What are y'all smoking? See, it's very difficult. You believe because there's something you're believing in. And so I was raised in this. I thank God I was raised in this. But, you know, there's a lot of people raised in this and still don't believe. They don't act like they believe. So you have to give people credit for just believing. For no man can come to Christ except he first believe that he is and a rewarder of them that what? Diligently, they're going to read the fine print. They're going to diligently search these scriptures out. He said, the scriptures are what testifies of me. Oh, I got to get going here. I'm sure that everybody in here at one time or another, if you haven't, you went on a diet. I went on one diet and I was still hungry, so I went on another diet with that diet so I wouldn't. I was on two diets at one time. Because when you read that thing, it says, this is a serving. You got to be kidding me. So I don't read that anymore. But anytime you, if you've watched any of those commercials or looked in magazines, they give you that before, you know, after, before, after. And what they're trying to give you something to believe in. You go, before, oh, that's me. After, that's who I want to be. If it did that for them, it could do that for me. Hey, I want to order that diet, that drink, that milkshake that you just drink twice a day. Okay, sir, it's on the way. And I get it there, and I don't read the instructions, and 6 weeks later, I'm still before, you know? And so I go, this didn't work. She says, on page 27, down at the bottom, there's some print that says you must exercise 30 minutes a day and not eat over 400 calories. I'm telling you, the fine print makes all the difference in the world. And too many times we get excited over Scripture and say, oh, that could be me. And we shout with the victory without having the victory. I like to shout when I got the victory. I don't like to shout too early. You know, I've watched football too many times, and you say, well, there's only 5 seconds left. Well, we got to beat. And he throws an interception. The other guy runs for a touchdown. You're going. I don't like to shout too early. I want to wait till it's like, you know, now look at me, you know. And if we're not careful, we get excited about scriptures that, and preachers can egg you on, really egg you on, and get you excited, and really you don't have the victory yet. I understand, I'd like to get excited to believe that that can be me. That's fine. But you realize that it's a long journey between that and this, you know. It's a process. So is living for God. There's a lot of details in living for God you must know. And I'm trying to help open up. I wish I had a series I could do on this. So I want to tell you that in this Bible, it's not designed to trick you. It's designed for those who will study the Word to shew themselves approved unto God, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. It lets me know there's a right way and a wrong way. It's truth, but it can be divided wrongly. You know what dividing something does? It breaks it down into smaller parts. Where's the fine print? The smallest part. And that's what you have to do when you read parables or whatever you read. Break it down to the smallest part. If you really want to understand it, don't take the overall view as all the message is. Get down to the smaller parts. Keep dividing it until you get to the smallest part. And so I want to take a parable in here, the most important parable in the Bible here, in just a minute and read that to you. Just give you a little quick example. I read this Sunday, John 7:37, on Easter Sunday. It said, in the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Well, first of all, you got to know he's not talking about a literal drink, right? But they were using literal water. So, I mean, this is just like 101. You've got to learn when is this spiritual and when is this literal? Because sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's spiritual. Well, how will you know? The Spirit. The Spirit makes intercessions for us. There's been many times I've read verses in the Bible and passages of scriptures, and I didn't feel comfortable. I'm like, Lord, there's more to this. And I would seek the Lord to open up my understanding. You didn't just put this in here to be a story. What is the real deep meaning of this? Break it down to what is the true meaning of this. So first of all, you got to see he's talking about spiritual things. He that believeth, so this kind of lets you know it's talking about spiritual, because he that believeth is a spiritual thing on me. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the body of this verse can fool you. But if you look at the finer print, then what you have to understand, there's more to it than just believing on him. He says, as the scripture hath said. Well, we got to know what the scripture hath said. And so John makes tries to enlighten us. In parentheses, we have this written. He said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you need to break all that down and study that the Holy Ghost was not given till Jesus was glorified, right?